Revelation 3, verse 18. Shall we all read? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We may be seated, saints. So we started a sub-sermon series under Laodicea, and we call it the gold, the raiment, and the eyes of. So today we want to speak on the raiment. Amen. Now look at this. In verse 17, God rebuked Laodicea. He says, you Laodicea, you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, excuse me, let me just, I always turn on this timer so that I don't go overboard. Now, look at the rebuke God gives to Laodicea. He mentions so many things, but we want to look at one thing. He says, you are naked. Now, you see, the love of God, when God rebukes you or rebukes me, he doesn't rebuke to shame you or to cast you out. If you are his child, he rebukes you out of love. That is why, after telling Laodicea, you are blind, you are naked, he still goes ahead and gives an invitation. He says, buy of me gold. And then what does he say? He says, he also says, buy of me white raiment. White raiment. Raiment means a clothing. It's not just a clothing, it's white. It's a white raiment. Now, you notice, when the first thing he mentioned, he said, buy gold of me. And he gave a reason. He says, that thou mayest be rich. So he says, buy of me gold. For what reason? So that you may be, hello? That you may be rich. Meaning the fake gold you have cannot make you rich. And on the raiment also, he doesn't just say, buy raiment from me or come get raiment. He gives a reason. He says, we get raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. The question is, what is the shame of Laodicea? Listen to this. The shame on Laodicea is not because Laodicea is naked. That's not the shame. I want you to listen carefully. The shame of Laodicea is not because Laodicea is naked. No. The shame on Laodicea is because being naked, Laodicea does not know that it's naked. I think that is worse. Because if you are naked and someone told you, oh, brother, mind your zip, or sister, your dress is not okay. It's been torn behind. They say, oh, it's torn. Now you have a chance to correct. But a person who is naked does not know it. Now, that's terrible. It's dangerous, actually. But blessed is a person when God says, oh, you are naked, and you say, oh God, have mercy on me. Clothe me. That's good for you. Now, is it not strange that these things were spoken of Laodicea? And everything spoken about Laodicea, we are seeing it today. Last week we said the emphasis in our time, the emphasis of this age is get rich, get wealthy. God is a God of blessings. And the world of religion has gone in that rut. But message believers, we should know better. We shouldn't be caught up in that confusion. Because our messenger taught us better on such things. But oh my, the way has been lost. Prosperity preaching has found itself in the message. But we are higher than that. We seek the kingdom of God first. And God supplies those things, not for the satisfaction of our flesh, but because there is work to be done. Now, that was gold. That was wealth. And we thank God we have the real wealth. But now there is another thing which characterizes Laodicea. It's the nakedness. None of you can disagree that for a product to sell in our time, it needs to have nudity in it. It needs to have nakedness in it. Yes, that's the spirit of Laodicea. It's nakedness. Tell me any movie, you know, we once had subscribed to Netflix, eh? Because there are certain movies which are educative there, certain cartoons, certain documentaries. But you know, every time we say, okay, let us watch this, we see what it's about. Before you find what you're looking for, you see a picture of a poorly dressed woman, you see a picture of people kissing. Oh my. Until, you know, it reached a point where we said, you know, I would pay for the subscription and no one is watching at home. And I thank God for that. We said, you know what, actually, we don't need this thing. Because you are sincerely trying to look for information which is helpful, but it's a stinking filthy all you see around. Now, even when you run away from what you see on the TV screen, as you walk about on the road, you look at this way, it's a woman trying to show her breasts, it's a woman trying to accentuate her hips. Everywhere you turn around, that's the fashion, that's what's trending. If you ask your young girl, tell me what you want for your birthday gift, take her to a shop. She wants to choose something which has a touch of what is trending. It will be a skirt which is long one side, but the other side it's a triangle or something like that. And when you are mama trying to advise her to say, no, I think this is not good, she gets offended. What is wrong with this? That's the struggle we have. It's a generational gap conflict. Do you know that when a wrong is repeated enough, a person who is right is the one who looks the odd one out? And it takes the real grace of God for you to stand above the nonsense. It takes the grace of God. Because Laodicea is so full of darkness. Brother John Michael Auzi, God bless his soul. He preached a message, is it Redeeming the Time? You need to listen to it. Brother John Mark says, Laodicea, every everything you see is possessed by the devil. For you to get a hold and use it, you need to use it by faith. That was a very powerful statement. Laodicea is in the hands of Satan. Whatever you want to use, whether it's a vehicle, whether it's a cloth, whether it is, you need to have faith. It needs to be sanctified. My wife went in the shop the other day, genuinely, innocently wanting to buy slipper for Terry because he had injured his leg, so he needed to put on these slippers. I don't know, you call them Bikulon or something. So she just got it. She didn't pay attention to the dollies which are there. You know, it has some funny pictures which children love. And I mean, we always buy these things. Sometimes you buy a shirt, it has a label or something like that. So Terry got it. But then he came to us. He says, these things are not good. Look at what is written there. It's a very bad word. I can't remember what it was. Terry, are you here? What was the word? Say it again. Break your promises and keep your lies. Yeah, break your promises, keep your lies. Huh. Now, I thank God he was the one to observe it first, to say these things are wrong. You know why he's able to discern that? He sits and hears the word. He's not yet grown up, but once we feed the children with the word of God, that's their security. What is the motive of someone to say, break your promises, keep your lies? Really? That is just a declaration? Of all words, that is what they thought of putting there on that thing? Since it's a dark, filthy world we live in. And if you can't see or feel it in your heart, what we're speaking of, no, you are part of the spirit of the edge. If it's not affecting you, you feel this is not a big deal, just know you've been carried away by the spirit of the edge. You can't be in between. Either you are aware or you've been carried away with the spirit of Laodicea. Now, he says, you are naked. What naked is that? That's not the nakedness of a man, it's the nakedness of a woman. All these churches are women, the seven churches. And why is the devil so interested in undressing a woman? Let's talk about summer. Look at this sense. You want to see what's happening in your time? Look at the woman. If women are undressed, it tells you something about what's happening to churches. A church is a spiritual woman. The first time I visited Uganda, when I went to Karamoja, I desired to see who is this John Mark. I need to see him. It's about eternity and tizipeza. Brother Chavula knows that. Yeah, we used to call it penetration, you know. You penetrate, you need to find yourself there. And I believe if it was in the days of the book of Acts, asembetina wa pesa, wena Peter, whether asembetina kwa Africa, asembetina jakako. Where there is hunger, God makes a way. Amen. Hey, before making that trip, I had a dream. I won't go in the details of the dream. But in the dream, I was to go to Uganda. But I noticed when they took my passport in the dream, they were to indicate my destination there.
But it was not a stamp. It was not written in ink of a pen. It was written with pencil. Pencil writing. So after immigration, I got worried. I said, why has it been written in pencil? Because someone can rub it. And I was on my way to Uganda, and my worry was someone can rub this. So I became careful, you know. So the dream ended. Now, dreams sometimes can appear to be so meaningless, but when you know it's a spiritual dream and you know, yeah, I can't tell the meaning, but there's something about it, there's a way to bother you. But I mean, I thought, what could be the meaning of this? The dream disturbed me. I was wondering, what could it mean? It did not have much detail, but I knew it was a dream to keep an eye on. Hey, when I went to Uganda, all the brethren knew my program was to go to Karamoja. That's what my program was. When I went there, they said, ah, Brother Piri, you know, we have programs lined up for you here. You need to preach here in Kampala. And then, you know, before you go to Karamoja, we take you to Kenya. I said, brothers, I only have a week here. My purpose is to visit Brother John Mark. So my host wasn't looking so excited about that. He said, ah, okay, yeah. I mean, you go there eventually. I said, when am I going there? Say, yeah, no, brother, we'll arrange for you. By tomorrow, we'll see what will happen. Okay. So in that house, I decided to be in prayer and fasting because I could hardly wait to meet Brother John Mark. So I went in. I was in a 3 days fast. I wasn't eating anything. I just wanted to prepare my heart. Well, I was seeking the Lord. I was in expectation. Afterwards, I told the brother, yeah, so are we going, am I starting off tomorrow? And my days were running out. I was supposed to come back here, I think that was a Monday or Tuesday, and now it was somewhere around Wednesday. And Kampala and Karamoja, it's quite a very long distance. So the brother says, yeah, brother, don't worry about that. We'll see what will happen tomorrow. But would like for you to preach. Ah, okay. The following day came. I said, what time am I supposed to go? They said, you know, Brother Piri, how of just speaking to Brother John Mark on the phone? I mean, you greet him and because, how of just talking to him so that we go to Kenya? And I knew right there the dream came back, that's the writing in pencil. I said, brother, you want me to talk to Brother John Mark on the phone? I could have done that in Zambia. But brother, you know, you can preach here and we can. I said, no, brother. He says, okay, but we need to look for someone who can escort you. I said, no problem, I can go alone. Just put me on the bus and I will go. So he could see I wasn't happy with that. Say, okay, tomorrow. You know, this day was now, actually, sorry, my flight was, I think, Sunday evening or so. And now, this was Friday or Saturday. That's how bad it was. So early in the morning, around 05, we went by the road to Chance Transportation, and I got on that bus. I didn't go with anyone. I went alone. I just kept asking, where's Karamoja? Is it here? And, you know, just asking like that. It was a very long, troublesome journey. Very long, troublesome journey. And before reaching there, it was terrible. Karamoja itself, you know, is not a very safe place. We reached a point where the bus got stuck and it started falling over. These big, long buses. And they just shouted, hey, you know, they were speaking, I don't know, the Swahili. All the men, come out. You need to, we all need to push the bus to hold it back because it was tilting slowly. It was falling off. All of us came out. And when I looked at myself, I was all brown, all covered in dust. The bus had a lot of dust in it. So we started pushing the bus. It needed a lot of manpower. And across, you know, it was mountainous. We could see heavy rains coming. Oh, just at that moment, we managed to put it back and all of us went inside. And well, it was a long, arduous journey. When we arrived there, I was very happy to meet Brother John Mark. But I wasn't just interested in meeting Brother John Mark. I was interested in the people who surrounded him. So the house of the brother where I was keeping up, Brother Robert Ogonjole, something like that, I can't remember his name. That night, he started telling me a testimony of how he came to the faith. He said, brother, now, you know, he is a little bit, let me just say, he was fluent in English. And he was telling me when he went to Karamoja, he went for another appointment and he was looking for a certain house of someone. I think he was a teacher. He was looking for a certain accommodation. He arrived late. That was the first time he went to Karamoja. So this brother, he arrived late in the evenings. So until he met a certain gentleman, he asked, I'm looking for the house of so-and-so. So he says, but now you see it is late. You can come and keep up with us. Now this brother, he once had a dream. In this dream, he was sitting on a bed in a bedroom. And he saw a woman enter that bedroom. She was naked. And she was twisting her body, trying to, you know, for him to get attracted. She tried to entice him, but he says, I was not at all attracted. I just kept my focus. She said, until when she failed in her mission, she moved out of the door. I was still seated on the bed. I think he used to go to Anglican. He was an Anglican. And then, later on, a second woman entered. He says she was fully dressed down to her feet. Well dressed. So he had interest. He looked at her. She entered that room. And then a voice spoke. It said, suck from her breast. Strange dream. Who would want to share such a dream to another person? Huh? But listen, spiritual dreams or spiritual things are spiritually discerned. God can communicate something put in form of a story. And he's the one who knows how to present it. And in that dream, he said, I started sucking from her breast. And he said, when I came out of that dream, I said, what kind of a dream is that? Now, do not always rush to interpret dreams. You really need to interpret them by spiritual inspiration, otherwise you won't get anything. Now, there are some dreams which are plain crazy. But there are dreams your soul will know it, that this has disturbed me. What does it mean? And Brother Robert says, I was very disturbed by the dream. So he says, one day, the Archbishop of, is it Canterbury? Of the Anglican, I think, visited Uganda. And he said, you know, that's a very important figure. He's like the Pope for the Catholics. But he penetrated. He found a way to have an audience with him. How he did it, I don't know, but he said, I made sure I wanted to share the dream I had with him. Now, you know that it bothered him for him to do that, right? Because when I narrate it, I don't know what pictures you have in that, but a person to whom a message has been sent to, God knows how to convict them of that thing, if there is a message in there. So, he says he told the Archbishop the dream, and you know, these are very educated people, they're professors there. He says, Brother Piri, to this day, I can't remember whatever he was explaining to me. But he said, when I went to Karamoja that time, this brother will come to me in his home. He says, no, it's late, but you can keep up in my home as you, I can take you to, I think, the place you are looking for, because it's late, but we offer you accommodation here. You know, the Bible says, do not forget to entertain strangers. You may entertain an angel. Praise the Lord. That is not speaking of angels with wings and those things you see on drawings. I want you to see how the working of God was in this setup. So he said, this brother, I think he told him the dream. You know, I once had this, that. He told him, we are inviting you to our church. I think the following day, they had revival meetings of some sort, or was it a regular service? I can't remember. But the brother of that home said, you can go with us to church. When he went there, he says, it was the first time I saw this tall preacher, Brother John Mark. So Brother John Mark said, he said, now, when I sat in that church, I mean, it was an ordinary place, poor place and all that. I'm mentioning those details because many times we think greatness is found in polished places. That's not how God works. That's not how God works. God works in simplicity. You just need to have a heart to discern the working of God. So this man went there in a poor setup. He's listening there. And Brother John Mark went to the pulpit. He said, today I'm going to preach about the woman of Revelation 17. And he says, there I was listening. And he says, you see, a woman represents a church. You know how Brother John Mark says, she represents a church. But if you are in a church which is not in the word of God, it's a naked woman. So the brother now got up and he was listening. He says, she is a naked woman. The brother got interested. Then Brother John Mark, listen to this. Brother John Mark said, but the true church of God is a well-dressed woman. And then Brother John Mark said, Jehovah. Now, you know that the name of God, Elohim, the name of God means the breasted God. You know that? When you check it in Hebrew, the name of God means the breasted God. Like God has a breast from which we suck. And Brother John Mark says, the name of God means the breasted God. If you are in a true church, you will suck and eat of the true word. Oh, my. Brother Robert was wondering what is going on here. He is explaining my dream. He said he explained it one after the other until the whole dream was given to him and he got baptized on the very day. He says, no. Because later on, Brother John Mark talked about baptism. He says, brethren, you know, I need to be baptized. From Anglican to a believer in a single moment. You didn't need to explain this theology to him, He didn't have to tell Brother John Mark I had a dream and all that. Brother John Mark spoke, revealing the secrets of his thoughts. Saints, I'm so glad I'm part of what God is doing in this day. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he told his wife, the man told his wife, and the wife also got baptized. Brother Robert Ogunjole later on became the brother who was pastoring the, I think, the church in Moroto when Brother John Mark is not there. He became a person who started, you know, ministering there. The workings of God are the leadings of the Spirit. When that brother invited that man to say, you can come stay in my home, he had no idea God was involved in it. But when you walk in the Spirit, you'll be at the right place at the right time. You won't even be aware that God is using you to orchestrate something. The workings of God have no drama. The way Pentecostals want to dramatize it, oh, a feeling of emotion. No. When we're in the will of God, we won't even realize it, but God is freely moving us to be in the right place, to speak right words, to say something which will affect someone's life. Hallelujah. And because of that, there is no boasting, because there is nothing you can claim to boast of that. Brother John Mark can't boast to say, oh, you know, I'm a great interpreter of dreams. He wasn't even aware he was interpreting someone's dream. He was just ministering, and it just hit the right spot. Praise the Lord. I thank God that pencil writing was not rubbed off my passport. I guarded it. I believe the Lord was revealing to me, you better guard your destination, because someone can easily twist and change it. But do you realize the brethren who wanted to change the destination, they didn't do it with ill reason. They had very good reasons. They wanted other people to listen to the preaching and all that. I learned something. It's not every good thing which is right. You need to follow the leading of the Spirit. Preaching is good, but have you been led to preach in this particular place, to go to this particular place? May God have mercy on us. May God lead us to do the right thing. Praise the name of the Lord. But you know what message we see in that? Brother John Mark said, a church which does not have the word and it doesn't have the Holy Ghost, it's a naked church. There is no food which can feed your soul. You just go, you sing songs, and you go back hungry. There's nothing in its breast. But he said, the true church. You know, I love the way Brother John Mark would pronounce milk. He says, it has milk in its breast. It has milk. And then there's something he said. He said it when he came here. He said, you know what the devil does in the denomination? He takes a big tank, like the one you see there, the tank, a 5,000 liter tank, huh? And then he takes 1 pint of milk. He pours it in there. And he says, come and drink this tea of milk. He says, the milk is so little, it's so diluted until you can't taste anything. That's how it is in the denomination. They'll preach, some of it you hear, oh, okay, apa, yamvekako apa. But it's not something which can feed your soul. Since a woman represents a church, and the church of God is dressed. But look at Laodicea. She's a naked woman. And without shame. Now, why is it that the woman has been undressed? Now, I mentioned, I said, the thing which is more terrible is for you to be naked and you don't realize it. Listen to me, sisters. It is possible you could be undressing yourself and you don't realize it. The devil convinces you are dressed. I was reading this. You find this on UNICEF. This is United Nations report. You can find it on the internet. This is UNICEF, USA. There was a study which was carried out And there's been a concern that we are living in a time which has sexualized women, because the concern of this is rape cases, young children being defiled. So they're trying to research what is causing this, where young girls, before they reach marriage age, they would have walked out and have sex with different men. What is causing that? What is causing sexual abuse? So these researchers were trying to find out, why is it that? A long time ago, yes, there would be cases, but not as prevalent as we're having it today. So now listen to the report. This was January 11, 2021. This report I'm going to read talks about children. The other one also talks about women, but also women in general. Now, it says, nearly one in five girls is sexually abused at least once in her life. I'll read that again. Brother Mansa, you need to interpret that, because hivi vichitika na manyumba wamene tinkala. This report was USA, but vamene vichitika kuja, vichitika nakuno, vichitika maskulu. Nearly one in five girls is sexually abused at least once in her life. This is happening in Zambia, I can tell you that. Especially when you have a home setup which has an extended family. Please, I'm not saying an extended family is bad, but there are times where a home has different people staying in it. You know what I'm talking about? And maybe as you move out of the home, you don't really know who is in charge of the home. Such an environment usually can be dangerous. Do you know that? Especially when you have young girls, because we're living in a confused society now. You feel safe to say, ah, walipo wa malume wao. Uchite hivyo masiko ya no? You don't know who is crazy. You go to UTH, there are cases. Young children being spoiled. These things are happening. It's not just in the USA, it's prevalent in our communities. Not just among young ones. You find this one is a cousin to this one. Whenever pa nyumba wakachokapo, vichitika ku bedroom. And you know what? They know how to use protection. Manyumba ya onongeka. If God was to reveal to us what is happening in homes, some people run away from their homes. And some girls, they hold those stories quietly. Because it's a shameful thing to talk about. So you find that kamsika nanako sika kamba. That thing leaves permanent damage on a child. It will take the grace of God to take that out. Hey, that is why I prayed. When I got married, I said, God, you are the one who gives children, but for a girl, please spare me of that. I don't have the grace to raise it. Unless really you tell me I'll have the grace to handle that. Muli mavuto, brother. Keep an eye on Rohama. God bless you all who have daughters. Keep them well for us. Please, we pray. Hey, but that was my prayer. I said, Lord, I don't think I have the grace to raise a child, a girl child, because number one, I'm busy, I'm a missionary, I don't think I have that. Because the problem is, you raise the child with all the best of your efforts, but it becomes worse if she's beautiful. It's a problem. I'm not saying have ugly daughters, but I'm saying especially if she's beautiful, it's a problem. Because when she goes out there, she'll be innocent, carrying her Bible teachings in her heart. It is not her who started. Some old, spoiled, rotten potato who starts doing pss, pss. And a thing which was not in her, suddenly she becomes aware of it. And what will that young boy tell that girl? You are everything. You are my world. And then she begins to feel valued. The father did the best of his work to put a hedge of protection around her. But when she goes to school, she goes in these places, she goes to college. As a father, your eye can't be with her everywhere. If there is a time which is difficult to raise a girl child, it's in this age. In your home, you raise her to look natural, to look honorable. She'll go out there and say, but my friends, is there anything wrong with this? Is there anything wrong with my hair looking like this? Is there anything wrong for my dress to look like this? Problems have started. You find a girl child arguing with the mother. Wakula manje. At one time she was a beautiful, nice girl, and listening to everything. But now, yasegu kawaya, as Brother Nzima calls it, yasegu kawaya manje. She's able to see what is happening there. That is why the other day I preached a sermon in Laodicea. Parents have been disarmed. Kudara vikashtika soni kutenga mshapu. Lelo uyese kakuitana kapso of the laws of Zambia says this. Kambo kukoting in a law. Kambo kuza pinokod. Chifuka vili mulamuro. I'll beat you. I'll do this. Cap 87 of the laws of Zambia. You shall not assault me. And when you do that, do you know how many years you go in? They've even increased the years so that they had good reasons to do that, because some parents would abuse children. But always remember, Satan uses what looks legitimate to pin you down. Well, I believe the statistics could be higher than what they're saying here. One in five girls is sexually abused at least once in her life. If there's any young girl here, I know we are believers, but you don't know who may have gone through this. Sumungaziwe, vamine wina pitamo, or maybe anapitamo. Ngatulipano vina kuchitikirako. Don't keep quiet on such things. Kosa namiwa ukaulula ni hivi na hivi. Kosa yopa. Ngatunapitamo kulivayama wa malume kulivamene wana chita ukapena ni kaze na nakutenga ku bedroom. Ufani kawakamba kuli makolo. Ndeva meno wana nchita so na so. La mulo ya ziko ikuchita protect. Don't be fooled on such things. Chifuka umoyo wako uzao nungekera tu umoyo onse. You need to review that. Because any elderly person who can do such on a young girl, that's not a human being. It's an animal. It doesn't need to roam around in the streets. It needs to be jailed. In the Old Testament, ni miala. Today they say, you don't take the law in your hands. Huh? Israel, it was the law of the nation. If an elderly person can sleep with a very young person, that's not a human being. That is no different from a pig. Sorry, let's not mention about a pig. He's lower than a pig. Because even a pig has manners. It knows it can't go after a young pig, right? Yesterday, I was looking at pictures of the police. Brother Simkoko, maybe you know about it. There is a girl who was found dead in the bush. She was raped. She was in a school uniform. Raped and thrown in the bush. I felt so sad when I looked at that picture. There are human beings who can do that. And you know, in Zambia, they say, no, death penalty is bad. They've removed it from the constitution, right? From the penal code. It's no longer there. How, you know, we are a Christian nation. Kupaya muntu. Olola kwa bwanj na bwanj. Death penalty. Tinaricho samu. You are trying to be more Christian than Jesus, eh? You are trying to be more Christian than Jehovah. Since there comes a point where a person is not different from that power of cells which is breathing, it has life, but it's a cancer. It's eating off the life of another person. When something is a cancer, you don't say it's breathing, it also has got life of God. It needs to be killed under those rays. Paul says, the soldier, the policeman is not holding the sword in vain. But we can't speak against the laws of the country. But there's a higher law, and it's the word of God. And one day, every sinner shall pay for their sins. But now look, nearly one in five girls is sexually abused at least once in her life. What is sexual abuse? Sexual abuse doesn't just mean going in details of the act. If a boy is trying to touch your breasts and you are a girl, that's sexual abuse. You have a personal space around you. No one should advance to touch you on parts of your body which are sexual. You shouldn't do that. Amen. Because it starts like that. Any boy, mwenda pako na afuna gwile, pa chest pako okuwele. Number one, you need to give him. Now, I don't want to break the laws of the country, because again, they will say assault according to cap what and what. But that's not right. Report the person. Speak firmly. Not even we nishinai we ufuna gatuyanka so. Chifuka kuli kukamba no, but yet you want that, right? Because number one, kuti mamuna mbochita ivo. Chwani sakudala wagonjese wa mkarekta, ayamba bwanji. Kuyamba, ayamba bwanji, nichani, ayamba kuchita ivo. Chitanda uza, olosuna muze na kamwa yako, behavior yako, they which to invite. Simamene. Chifukwanga tuzile mekeza, wazi wa maboyzi kuta haa uja, savo mera nonsense ya so, saaza peza na mpamvu, yobwela kutambo chito hivu vachabe chabe. Is that not so? Yeah. 18% of girls report that by age 17, they have been victims of sexual assault or abuse at the hands of another adolescent. So it's not just a big person trying to walk out with a small girl. It can be among your age groups. Now listen, there is a question in this research. Why are women and girls so often the victims of violence? And they say, there is no single reason why women and girls are so often the victims of violence. In other words, there are many reasons. It's not just a single one. But then they go on to say, however, when they're repeatedly objectified and their bodies hyper-sexualized, not just sexualized, hyper-sexualized, the media contributes to harmful gender stereotypes that often trivialize violence against girls. Now, here's what they're saying. They're saying we're living in a time where bodies of women have become hyper-sexualized. They're saying when you look at an advert, they'll try to show part of her breasts. They'll try to show thighs of a woman. What are you doing to the males in your population? So these researchers, they say, A woman has been hypersexualized. Any image you portray, for her to look beautiful, they need to show her in a very sexy way. Go on Facebook. See how girls are posing for their pictures. See how they twist their tongues, what they do with their mouth. Do you know what that is? Those are sexual poses. What you see these young girls are doing on social media, it's because of what they are watching. Look at this. Girls in the media, a report by the American Psychological Association, the APA, or APA, on the sexualization of girls in the media found that girls are depicted in a sexual manner more often than boys. Listen to this. Dressed in revealing clothing. Dressed in what? Hello? Have you noticed it's so trending today? A woman would dress, but there'll be certain portions, each tangati ni net net, something like that. Or it will be a long dress, but somehow it has to show, it has to be revealing to some extent. Or you put on a dress, yes, it is long, but when you turn, the linings of your pant are showing. Kadinda, kaoneka. One can see it goes here, it goes there. You think that's just a dress? Ask us men. We know the purpose of that. You understand that? It is done with the Hollywood touch. Because when a woman dresses like that, it turns on a man. So you find that dresses which are loose. You know an African dress is loose, you know that? Loose. It's like that. But our dresses are no longer like that. They keep holding to the skin. Keep holding to the skin. Until you see the spirit of Laodicea. It makes you naked, but blinds you from the fact that you're actually naked. That's the Laodicean woman. You say, no, I'm dressed. No, you're not dressed. You are dressed, but it will show the figure of your body. It will show the breasts. Can't you see you are naked? But the devil said, no, there's a cloth on you. You are not naked. That's the spirit of Laodicea. Now it is so prevalent, it's gone everywhere until it looks normal. It looks fashionable. When the devil brings a lie, he doesn't bring it completely. He'll tell you, no, it's a long dress. It's long enough. But when you look at it, it holds to your body. The report says, across 58 different magazines, it's speaking about magazines. Across 58 different magazines, 52% or 51.8% of the advertisements that featured women portrayed them as sex objects. Do you agree with this? Do you agree most magazines? Go in our shopping malls. Go to ShopRite, go to Game, go these places where they show magazines. Almost 99.9% there is an image of a woman there, right? She would just be portrayed either in only a bra, in a pant, or something like that. Why? Go around town, see companies which advertise motor vehicle tires. Or what other thing is unattractive? Motor vehicle tires, or even instruments, or anything you can think about, there has to be a picture of a woman. Not just a woman, but they'll sexualize her. Why? Why is it that? You think it is just incidental? This research shows that almost all, many magazines, they sexualize a woman. Why do they do that? It is to attract the public. In a study of print media, researchers at Wesleyan University found that on average across 58 different magazines, 51.8% of advertisements that featured women portrayed them as sex objects. However, when women appeared in advertisements in men's magazines, they were objectified 76% of the time. That's terrible. Now, this is another one. This is Annenberg's study, Hollywood hooked on sexualizing women and teen girls. Here they're talking about movies. This research was checking on movies. A new study by USC Annenberg researchers, it brings out their names. The top 100 grossing movies of 2009, meaning top 100 movies which are making a lot of money, which are very famous, and shows Hollywood's, they show Hollywood's addiction to films that marginalize and sexualize women is as strong as ever. In the movie industry, for the movie to sell good, to make good money, it has to show scenes of kissing, it has to show a woman poorly dressed, people will be more interested in watching it. Professor Smith and her research team of undergraduate students found the same prevalence of sexually revealing clothing. In here, in this UN UNICEF report, the UNICEF article talking about this report, they talked about revealing clothing. In this report, again, the Annenberg study, again, they talk about revealing clothing. Hey, these are not believers. These are studies. These are researchers. These are psychologists. All right? Professor Smith and her research team of undergraduate students found the same prevalence of sexually revealing clothing and partial nudity in female characters in all age groups from 13 to 39. The survey found 33.8% of female teen characters were seen in sexy clothing, 28.2% were shown with exposed skin in the cleavage. That's the cleavage there. Midriff for upper thigh regions. For male teen characters, the numbers were drastically lower. Drastically lower. So they're saying when we compare to boys or men, they're always portrayed dressed, clothed. Very few, because men also are becoming perverted now. It says, but even when you have that, it's very rare to find men portrayed like that. Sexualizing a significant portion of women, this age may contribute to males viewing girls and women as eye candy. I want you to listen to that carefully. Sexualizing a significant portion of women this age may contribute to males viewing girls and women as eye candy at younger and younger ages, Smith said. Now, that's a professor speaking, huh? He says, when you present women like this, these are not believers, these are psychologists. He says, the more society presents women like sexual objects, you are also, without knowing, engineering the minds of males to look at women as something to feed on sexually. Because that's what you are presenting to the public, right? You know, when a woman dresses in a certain way, she's communicating who she is. If a woman exposes her thighs, do you know what message you are communicating to the public? You are saying, I'm for public consumption. It's an invitation. That's what this professor is saying. And that is true. Does it ever happen you see a well-dressed woman, properly dressed with manners,
will boys say, hello, hello. There's something about how you dress and how it communicates to the people around you. Is that right?
Amen.